God will make a way. Praise God for that. Would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 21. And just to give you the scenario that's happening here, Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, who has come to Jesus at night in the cloak of darkness. And he comes to Jesus in the cloak of darkness to talk about light. You see the two things that are going on here. And Jesus is telling him about how people can be healed. Hear these words. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let me read that part again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through Jesus. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. I invite you to be seated. I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of light and God of love, we thank you for the way that you love the world. You so love the world that you came. You came to sacrifice yourself for the souls of anyone who would believe in you as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Your intent is that all might come to know and to love and to heed your words and to hear your words and to be and become the people that you created us to be. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your holy word, for you are the incarnate word, the word made flesh that lived among us. We thank you, O Lord, that we have had these wonderful readings today from Numbers and from Malachi and now from John. We ask that you would emblazon each and every one of those words upon every one of our hearts here this morning, that we might be and become the people that you created us to be, and that we might know your love and live by it. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Well, I love the readings that we have here this morning. The one, first of all, from Numbers. And it's at a time in the desert when the nation of Israel is going through the desert, and they begin to grumble. They begin to grouse, as my good friend Don Scandrel would say. They're so upset. They don't like the food anymore. It's a long journey. It's hot in the desert. They're grumbling. They grumble against Moses. And they grumble against God, and they say, it would be better for us to go back to Egypt, where they were enslaved, where they were put to hard work. And they're thinking, where we are now, we'd be better off going back to Egypt. And so it says in the word that the Lord made these snakes, and they came, and these little vipers, and they would bite people, and some people died. And after a while, they realized, oh, we spoke against God. We spoke against Moses. We've sinned in a great way. And they say to Moses, please go back to God and tell him that we have sinned grievously against him. And maybe he'll relent and maybe he'll cause us to take the snakes away and heal us. And so Moses tells God, take and fashion a snake and put it on a pole. And then put it up, lift it up, so that when people get bit by these snakes, they can look at that pole and believe. That's the key word there. Look at the snake. It's not the snake isn't magic. Believe that they would be healed, and they would be healed. It's interesting to note that God doesn't take the snakes away. They're still there. But he gives them a remedy for life. He gives them a remedy for healing. And in God's word, in many places, when you would see healing in God's word, there's a word there, a Greek word, it's called sozo. And the Greek word sozo has three significant meanings. The first one is deliverance, or, you know, that the people of Israel were delivered from the bondage in Egypt. Deliverance. Another one is healing. That when Jesus would heal people, he wouldn't say, "I healed you." He would say, "Your faith has made you whole." The faith factor. Your faith has made you whole. Sozo. And people would be healed by their own faith. And the third meaning is salvation. Our ultimate healing is in our salvation, is in going to God, is actually when we die and we go back to God to be with the one who created us for a forever relationship with himself. In every funeral that I do, when Jesus is on his way to raise Lazarus from the tomb, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, Jesus tells Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live." Life after death, life beyond death. So in other words, we go from life to life in Christ, eternal life. And so there's this healing that takes place. And so in Numbers, Moses would raise the snake up in the desert, this bronze snake that was fashioned. The people who were bit by these vipers would look upon the snake, see the snake, and because they would believe, God would heal them. So too, in the gospel reading today, when there's this talk between Nicodemus and Jesus, and Nicodemus doesn't really have a clue yet. He really doesn't. You know, he's talking about being born again. How can a man be born again? We didn't read that part because it was right before this. Can he go back in his mother's womb and be reborn? No. You don't understand. And Jesus starts talking about wind, and the word that's used there is pneuma. Pneuma has two meanings. It's wind, but it's also spirit. And so like when you translate it, you're going to translate it in English, one word or the other, but both hold together. And so if we were to read it in the Greek has more meaning because you can have both words together. Just the same way as being born again. Anothen has the meaning of being born anew, but also being born from above. And those two exist together, but when we read it in English, we have to look at the footnotes to get the second meaning. And whoever the translator is picks one. But in the Greek, they're both there, and they reside together, and it's important. So spirit, okay, the pneuma, meaning spirit and wind, and then also anothen, which means born from above and born anew. And so both of those exist together. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, because he's not getting it yet, that just like Moses raised the serpent in the desert to be looked upon, so too the Son of Man must be lifted up. Lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about being lifted up. And also the word lifted up there means also ascend. So there's his life, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven is all part of our salvific story. And Jesus is saying, anyone that believes this, to Nicodemus, just as you would look on the snake in the desert, if you look upon Jesus on the cross and you believe that God sent this person, this Christ, this Son of God, God in the flesh, into the world to be salvation for us. And if you believe that, sozo, you will be healed. It is your faith that will make you whole. couple of years ago, I was preaching on this, and I opened up my sermon talking about The Walking Dead. You know, you ever watch that show on TV? Anyone here watch The Walking Dead? People don't admit that in church, you know. But my niece Amanda loves that show, and my son-in-law Jared, he just loves that show. In fact, we were visiting them one time up in New England, and we're sitting in the living room. Think about that, living room. And we're watching something else, and he wants to watch The Walking Dead. I said, I don't want to watch The Walking Dead. Bunch of zombies walking around trying to get you to join them in their lives or their unlife. So he left the living room and went upstairs to his bedroom to watch The Walking Dead. Jesus talks about The Walking Dead in this particular gospel message. He says it this way. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. He says this, whoever believes in him, Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe, here's the Walking Dead part, stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Because they can't believe in healing, they aren't healed. And yet, much the way, like in The Walking Dead, part of The Walking Dead's job is to go out and make everyone else dead like them. But as children of the light, which we are as God's people, we too have a purpose, and that is to bring others into the light so that they will be undead, they will be alive. They will be alive forevermore. We have that gift to give to the world. See, in the Bible, there is good news and there is bad news. There's good news and there's bad news. You know, when people come to me and say, Pastor, I have some bad news and I have some good news. I say, give me the good news. Give me the bad news first, because the good news will make it better. You know, give me the bad news first. We'll deal with that. There's always bad news in the world. Just turn on your TV. There's always going to be bad news. But here's the good news. It's summed up in Jesus the Christ, who is our all in all, who is our salvation, who is the means of us being healed, sozo, where we're delivered, where we're saved, and where we are ultimately healed. It's there for the taking. And Jesus says, whoever looks at the Son of Man lifted up and believes, sozo, will be healed. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I believe it. And it's real. And I can't tell you the number of times, usually at a funeral or after a funeral, after speaking, and people come up to me and say, is that real? Because it sure sounds good. And I said, yes, you can bet your life on it. That's what I have done. You can bet your life on Jesus' salvation. They'll ask me, well, what does it mean to say that Jesus is Lord? It means just that, that he's Lord of your life, that he's in charge of your life, that you give that up. You submit to his lordship, and you allow him to train you in the way that you should go. There is a way. Right? We heard that in the song. And he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. Sozo, God's healing work in the world. Sozo, salvation that's ours through Christ. Sozo, the ultimate healing that we will ever have, that gives us the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. Sozo. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you just want to save us. You want us to be healed. You want us to hear the story and to heed the story and to grow in our understanding of you. And as we do that, we find out that this fits us just right. That you came so that we might have life and have it to the full. And really, when we do come to understand of your saving grace, we find out that everything that went before was like an empty bag. It really had no meaning. But when we have a gift of life in you, everything else is added unto us. You say it this way, seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Lord, bless us as your people. Help us to be a blessing in the world. Help us to bring the walking dead into the light of Christ, that they might see you and know you and love you and hear and heed your voice, all to your glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.